what every puppy needs, and a kind of exploration that probably benefits just about every artist. Stay tuned. Good afternoon. Issues and Ideas continues now with Ears on Art. I am Krissa Hewitt, and with co-host Stephen DeLuque, we produce this program here at the studios of KCBX Public Radio for the California Central Coast. Our focus is the visual arts, and even for the two of us who have been at it a long time, 18 years of interviewing has certainly convinced us how universal this language of expression is. Today, we have part two of our conversation with Ethel Tink Landers, an artist who resides in Arroyo Grande. As we learned last week, she is very interested in several different disciplines, including painting, clay, and etching on stone. In addition to all of this, she really enjoys opening her studio to students, beginners, intermediates, advanced, where she enjoys the process of helping everybody loosen up. We start today's program with a little bit of the end of last week's program so that you can better understand the whole conversation about her most recent endeavor, a book which she wrote and illustrated. This program is very much a conversation with old friends, as the three of us have known each other for many years. Here now is Stephen DeLuque, Ethel Tink Landers, and of course, I am there too. We'll return now to Ethel's studio in Arroyo Grande.
So besides the etching of rocks, what is your focus on?
Well, actually, I'd say since 2003, one of my focus points started when I was at Cal Poly in Mary LaPorte's illustration class. We illustrated a book in that class, a prototype, of course, and mine was called Every Puppy Needs. It was a children's book to teach proper care of animals. One of my heart connections are animals, small animals, dogs, cats, and I've volunteered with the Humane Society in Santa Maria many times as a dog walker. And then I've seen the abuse and the high euthanasia rates. You might not think that it's on the Central Coast, but it is. And it was like, if we could just teach young people how to take care of animals, maybe they can teach their parents and their grandparents. So I did this prototype book, and since, I kept wanting to do the book permanently. So this year, I was looking at my bucket list, and that book was at the top, and I thought, there's got to be a way of doing this and giving this book to children in grade schools. So I started a GoFundMe account, and people started donating. Friends donated, yes, but others that I'd never met donated. On Amazon.com today, my book comes out. It took me over a year to illustrate it, and many hours to learn all the different software programs to get it scanned and created. The book is in English and in Spanish, side by side, written at the third grade level. And the book will be introduced in grade schools in San Luis County as well as in northern Santa Barbara County by grandmas or grandpas, volunteers who will go into the schools and read to the children and then gift the book to the children. We're going to ask the teachers to ask the children to read it aloud to their caregivers. This way, we're teaching people of many ages what every puppy needs, as simple as fresh food and water twice a day, as simple as a bed inside your home and safe, not tied to a tree in a backyard somewhere, as simple as a tag with your name and telephone number, and as simple as a trip to the vet.
Are you fluent in Spanish?
Not a bit. However, some great volunteers are who took my words, turned it into third grade Spanish for children. Mm-hmm. The most important thing, I mean, as far as when we tie it back to art, art for me is spirit, and so are animals. To me, not to get into religion, but for me, art and animals connect me to God. Whatever God is in your imagination or in your belief system, that's the great positive spirit, and animals show it, and they deserve our proper care. And actually, I think they're kind of like the little furry angels on earth, here to teach us lessons and to help be with us when we're in need. And if I can make their lives a little bit easier and a little less suffering with this book, I bring my spiritual connections of art and animals full circle that way.
I have a friend who has a Chihuahua, and I'm not the one that's usually into the tinier dogs, but it's now staying with me for a while with its owner. And when they go to work, there is a rabbit hutch, and this little black Chihuahua gets to go into the rabbit hutch. And the only one that's sort of confused is the one male out of the six rabbits that are there. But they all seem to get along, I guess, just fine. So
it's just a funny-looking rabbit.
Yeah. But I guess the rabbits are mostly black or black and white, and this is a black Chihuahua. So not that they're seeing color, but it sort of fits.
Well, that's again, takes me back to my roots as a little adopted kid. My dad unfortunately passed when I was 10, but Mom and I didn't have much money, but we had pets. And I, at one point in Bakersfield, California, we rented a place that was filled with bunnies, and we had our Chihuahuas, our rabbits, we had a couple of turtles, tortoises out in the backyard, even ducks, and they all got along. And I, even till today, it's much better entertainment than anything you can find on television or the internet is just to have pets and watch them interact.
Mm-hmm. I lived in San Luis Obispo. We had three rabbits that had free run of the backyard. They couldn't get out, so they just ran around in the backyard. And at the time, we had a cat who was the most docile cat I'd ever met in my life. Mm-hmm. And I have a photograph of her sitting on a chair, and the rabbit is underneath her washing, and one of the blue jays that was nesting in the nearby orange tree is sitting above her, preening.
That's fabulous. Right, there's so much we can learn from animals. There really is. And our shelters locally do such a fabulous job. And between the humane societies and the county shelters and then a lot of rescue groups, there's an animal out there for you. And one of the reasons I called my readers Grandma's Friends is that my mom always loved animals, and she got to a point when we had to put down one of her pups, one of her older dogs. She said, oh, I just can't get another. I'm too old. And a lot of older people think that. You know, I'm getting to that stage. Will I outlive the animal I adopt? And one of the most important things to know is we have some great shelters here who will take your pet, and it's not just in risk of being euthanized. We can take it into the shelters and find another, you know, another owner who will love it and care for it. I'm hoping, let's cross our fingers, here's my next bucket list prayer for my little book, that we can, since this is on Amazon and worldwide, if I can get enough money coming in, I'm going to expand Grandma's Friends so we can use it as a facility, as a nonprofit, where we bring in animals from seniors who are getting too old, who can't keep their animal, and then rehome them to other seniors who might be a little worried because will I live long enough to take care of this baby, but also help them with finances to help with medical care and food. And I think there's a great need there, specifically for senior people and senior animals, that we match each other up and support one another. And there's got to be a group that can do that. That's been at the back of my mind ever since Mom said, I can't get another pet because I may die before it does. There is a void there, and I think we can fill it. And maybe, just maybe, I can do that with children's books from Grandma Tink.
We could talk animals for a long, long time, well, and I'm very willing to do so. Yeah. But I'm also curious, we're sitting in your studio, right?
Right.
Okay, so you want to tell us about this facility, and since you've got tables here and lots of chairs, I'm assuming that maybe you have classes or groups or other people coming in. What happens here?
Well, magic happens here. We call this the playpen because we can drip on the floor. If you look down, there was sealed cement. I purposely didn't put a floor in here because we want to be able to drip and splash, and every once in a while run a mop over it. But I do classes here. I actually call them painting with wine and Van Gogh. Painting with wine and Van Gogh. And it's a little different than the standard wine classes because I do some teaching about Van Gogh's background, the colors he used, the style he used, and it is magic when you take folks who have never painted. Many of the people in these classes have never painted anything, and to get them to relax, sometimes plying them with wine, but not always. I provide food and soft drinks too, but just letting them relax, and we're not doing anything realistic. We're doing Van Gogh style. And that seems to take some of the pressure off. And we're using bright, happy colors. And some wonderful work comes out. I've got actually the last class I have finished, sealed their paintings and need to deliver them. But some wonderful paintings come out. We do like Starry Night, the one behind us here. Mm-hmm. And believe it or not, beginning painters can do that within about 2.5 hours. So we have a great time in here. Also, I have several other artists who work with me on different days of the week here. We do everything from ceramics to watercolor, and we just share in the expenses of whether it's firing or buying new clay. Whatever we need to do, we do it together. And again, it's that teamwork and positive energy between artists.
Yes, I noticed there was some ceramic work outside, so you work in clay as well?
Yes. Right now I have a small kiln, though I may want to get a larger one again. Over the years, different people have been here. Greg Wolf, at the time, was my doctor, and he was also an artist, so he helped me set up the ceramic arm of our studio, and we worked a couple of years together creating ceramics. Again, it's the playpen, so I use wood, stone, ceramic, lots of paint, drawing, illustration. It's kind of like an orchestra of art here.
How do people find you?
I'm on the internet as ethellanders.com, and on there you can see a whole variety of things I do, as well as if you'd like to take classes, please just send me an email via my website.
As you can see, what else would you like to talk about?
Well, let me think here. You can see many of my subjects are animals, and because of that spiritual connection between art, animals, and humans, if you look around the walls, one of my favorite paintings is of Rudy the Running Rooster. The original Rudy hangs in Arroyo Grande at a lovely client's home who at the time was suffering from lung cancer. And she saw Rudy. I had posted him on my Facebook page. And she says, I have to have that. He makes me want to fight. And when she showed up, she was totally bald. She was going through her treatment. She bought him and hung. He was, the original is oil and 24 by 24. She hung him right in front of where she sat to eat every day. And I went to visit her when I had Rudy turned into ceramic tiles. I wanted to give her one. And she was still in the middle of her fight. But there he was, inspiring her. And she named him Rudy. And I sell many giclées of Rudy, and the proceeds, now I have to pay for the giclée, so I have to take some money out of that, but the proceeds go to fight lung cancer in her honor, because she's whipped it with Rudy's help. So now any products I sell with Rudy go to fight lung cancer.
You're listening to Ears on Art here on KCBX Public Radio. Our guest today is Ethel Tink. That's T-I-N-K, Landers. Tink has been her nickname since childhood. You have been hearing about her fondness of small animals, and it turns out that there are several of the larger variety close at hand.
And there's lots of roosters because I live in this beautiful community that's quite rural, not that far from San Luis Obispo, but we have donkeys next door, we have a cow across the fence, chickens, we have turkeys, we have ducks, not on my property, but within a stone's throw, and they make great models for any of my art.
And probably quite a bit of music between donkey braying and rooster crowing. And
if you're in the studio right around noon or around 5, you hear the most outrageous donkey brays, because she's better than any clock or any alarm clock, because she knows when it's time to eat. Absolutely.
As do my cats at 4:30 in the morning.
Really? Oh,
really. Tuscan is much better trained than that, fortunately. But 4 o'clock in the afternoon, she knows that one.
Uh-huh. Yep. Isn't that cute?
It's scary to me. It's like it's literally within a minute or two of 4:30 when they start meowing.
And 9 o'clock is bedtime bathroom break.
Yeah.
Followed by a cookie, which is the only reason why we know that it's 9 o'clock.
They have us so well trained.
Well, they do. And, you know, we have a theme going here of art and dogs and art and animals. And one of the classes I offer is painting with wine and dogs. And that way you can paint your own animal, but with dogs at your feet. Actually, if you look down on the floor, you'll find some little blue tracks from one of our participants whose name was Ladybug. And she happened to walk on her mother's painting and then walk around the studio. So we have blue ladybug tracks permanently in the studio.
I have cat paw prints in the cement borders in the backyard
there
on the patio.
Yes, they're dog the same way. And it's more than a print. It's sort of a clawing, because I think that there was probably a cat or something, and they are, you can just see them trying to pull themselves up this ramp. And fortunately, it didn't make huge grooves, but it was just kind of like, okay, I love you, it stays, it's here, it's whatever.
It's your signature. So what projects do you have coming up in the future?
Well, I have already promised Amazon's publishing company that I'm going to have 3 more books. And I love doing that. That's something, illustration's something I can do in the evenings. I don't have to have a whole studio to do that. And I've got all sorts of stories in my head. We were actually brainstorming yesterday, what should Grandma Tink teach the next generation? Grandma Tink's actually based on my grandmother, but has my name, my nickname. But what are we missing? And 2 of the grandmas who were here yesterday said manners. The younger generation, we aren't even teaching our children manners anymore. And one was using the illustration of pushing her partner in a wheelchair recently, and most people won't move out of the way anymore for someone in a wheelchair. And unless you're there, you really don't even know that. But right. There's some simple things that I think children can teach the elders if we offer the information to the children in a happy, fun, colorful book. So that's one of the things on my agenda. The other one is a class that I've been wanting to have for a long time, and I just haven't completed it, but I have the materials for it. I have this wonderful acre property, and we can sling paint. One of the classes I've wanted to offer is painting like Jackson Pollock. And so I'm bound and determined to do that in the near future, because we can go out here on the other side of the horses and put our structures down. I don't know if we want to do it on canvas. Maybe we want to do that on wood. Or maybe even a found object in your backyard, and we get the paint out and a couple of bottles of wine and start throwing paint. And I think we could have a great time, an uplifting time, and end up with some beautiful art pieces on top of that. So that's in the future.
In addition, or in lieu of, the wine is also music.
Absolutely.
Because all of those tempos do a lot to change how we approach something. And I think part of the Jackson Pollock model, even though he obviously was paying a lot more attention than many people give him credit for,
yes,
in terms,
yes,
of where he was putting the paint, but I think that ability to sometimes maybe start people with even pencils or paintbrushes or sticks or whatever, but doing something standing up in a place where they can be dirty and where they can have arm movement and body movement, as opposed to this minute, mm-hmm, tight detail kind of thing, that because we're so afraid of making mistakes, we got to get it right. And so that wonderful ability to say, oh, there's another way to think about this. And even if you don't think about it as a finished piece of art, if that isn't your style, you think about it as a loosening, as a way to give yourself permission to put paint on a surface.
I love that addition of the music. We've been blessed to go to Festival Mosaic in the last weekend and this coming weekend. And just to be able to be outside, for instance, at Shandon up at the chapel, mm-hmm. and the stars come out, or before the stars came out, there were swallows dancing to this beautiful music. I totally agree, Chris. I think that'd be fabulous to haul the bows on a two extension cords out to the back area here and be able to have some fabulous music and just to loosen your body. Think how uptight so many of us are, mm-hmm. in their shoulders, in our backs, our necks. And if we can just loosen up, get some dirt on your feet, who cares? And throw some paint and dance with that, whether it's a brush or a stick, like you say, and just loosen up to the music and to the let the breeze blow through. And imagine creating art that way. It's so positive for anyone and people of all ages.
I think I remember when Calder was getting older and he started suffering macular degeneration and he wasn't able to see as clearly as he used to, he put a charcoal at the end of a yardstick, and he would put the paper down on the ground and he would draw that way because that was big enough that he could actually see the images. And some of them are the most beautiful things he ever did.
That's wonderful. There was a wonderful instructor at Cal Poly who taught life drawing. I do want to give him credit because he was a wonderful illustrator and wonderful teacher. And he would have us, instead of in, you know, most life drawing classes, you're using charcoal or a pencil and you're drawing just using it in your hand. But he would have us add it to a stick also. Mm-hmm. And it's absolutely true. The freedom and the flow of the bodies that you were creating came out beautifully. And actually, he could teach realism. His class was the first one where I actually drew a model that looked like that person. You could get that person's total image out of the drawing, where in previous life drawing classes, yes, you could tell it's a man, woman, whatever, but you wouldn't necessarily know it was that specific person. So there is great beauty in becoming loose.
Mm-hmm. Actually, Joanne Ruggles used to teach figure drawing, too, with sticks that
yes.
she would dip into ink. And the sticks were a good 2 feet long. You know, again, loosening up your whole procedure of the preciousness mm-hmm. of creating artwork.
Right. And I remember in one of Joanne's classes, hers was the first classes that had models who weren't necessarily trim mm-hmm. and young. And I remember a quite heavy-set lady dancing around the room while we're trying to capture her. Normally, they're up on a table mm-hmm. and holding still. This one's moving, and I have some of my best work from that class. Mm-hmm. And we were allowed to bring in 3 colors of paint and create quickly, and those came out beautifully.
Mm-hmm. One of the isms that's put out there all the time is, I can't draw a straight line with a ruler, or mm-hmm. obviously I'm not an artist because I can't make something look like whatever it's supposed to look like. And my sense is if there's anything that we're able to do to try to dispel both of those concepts in terms of how people want to approach finding some sense of expressing themselves, and maybe it is visually, and maybe it is two-dimensionally, or maybe it's three-dimensionally, or maybe it's verbally, or maybe it's whatever, but to just close that door, because culturally we have somehow defined the artist as the one who can reproduce what they're looking at, is, I think, a very sad statement and very destructive one, if I want to be so blunt.
We're very product-oriented in our culture today, and I think that's wrong, because to me, the process of creativity is the process. It's not the end product.
Absolutely. And, you know, look back on who your favorite artists are. And maybe I'm tainted because I've taken so much art history. But the beauty in the impression of what you're attempting to paint or draw versus a photorealistic image. For instance, in 2014, I had the wonderful experience of going to France and going down into the caves and seeing some of this cave art that, how many years ago, 30,000 years mm-hmm. ago, this was created by artists using whatever materials they had, and it's preserved underground in France. And to see the beauty of their horses and of the animals running and the humans. And I've reproduced some of that on some of my stone too, because that's our roots. Those are people 30,000 years ago expressing themselves in their little cave dwelling. and that art's still there for us to enjoy.
New Yorker recently had one of those just classic cartoons, and it is the cave painter, and on the floor is the antelope lying down, the pose.
But it also speaks to the fact that creating is part of the human experience and always has been. I mean, you think about these people who are pretty much fighting just for survival, but actually having the need to express themselves in that particular way.
Right, and maybe that could be the medicine we need as a culture. I don't know about you, and we don't have to get into politics, but I've been pretty uptight since January, and I've actually themed some of the art shows at Gala around. One was called Oh My God, We're All in This Together, and there was some wonderful art created for that show, but I think there's tension and greater tension in Americans specifically, maybe in people around the world, but if we could just loosen up a little bit, know that we are all in this together and we're here for each other. So let's relax a little bit. Let's do something together that's positive. And getting together to create art with some music in the background and throw a little paint or sip a little wine or at least come look at those who have created some. Come to Gala and have a glass of wine on the first Friday and just be. Let's just be together and enjoy the art and let our spirits loosen up.
Well, that was a great closing statement.
Absolutely. It's good when the guests do it and we don't have to figure it out.
Is there anything that we haven't covered that you'd like to talk about?
Actually, I thank you so much for coming out to the studio, and it's so great to see you both again, and bless you for the work you do on this program. And thank you so much for inspiring me in the past as my co-painter and my teacher, as well as inspiring all the other people you do. Everyone is an artist. I know that. There's just been that stifling of us over the years. And let's just loosen up. And I really want to encourage everyone to pick up a pencil, pick up a paintbrush, and create.
Well, thank you, Ethel Tink. If I can call
absolutely.
You Tink.
Absolutely, either one.
Thank you for spending the afternoon with us.
You're absolutely welcome. Thank you.
Thanks.
Our guest today on Ears on Art has been Ethel Tink Landers, an artist from Arroyo Grande. You can find her work on her website at ethellanders.com, where also you can learn about her different workshops and classes. If you missed part one of this program, we hope that you'll go to the KCBX website and look up Ears on Art, and you'll find it listed there. We talked a lot today about trying things for the first time, or just giving ourselves permission to be a little looser and not too afraid of what kind of visual marks we might make. If the "I can't draw a straight line with a ruler" mantra rings a bell with you, hope maybe you'll give yourself permission to just explore. As we create, the power of discovery of what we usually didn't know was inside becomes an amazing gift. I am Chrissy Hewitt, and on behalf of co-host and co-producer Stephen DeLuque, I want to thank you so much for listening. Hope you'll join us next month.